May I just say this before we pray and dive in? Chapter 9, verse 51 of Luke's Gospel. It sounds such a random, weird place to stop. Did I just run out of weeks at Easter last year and sort of, you know, stumbled and like, oh, 9:51, right? 9:50, that's where we're stopping, all right? We'll pick it up next year at 9:51 and away we go. No, it's one of those verses. It's kind of widely regarded as sort of a hinge, not only in Luke's Gospel, but in a sense in history, chapter 9, verse 51. And in terms of God's saving plan, I ask the question, what time is it? Well, it is time, according to Luke chapter 9, verse 51, as the time approached for him, that is Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. A turning point in the life of Jesus, a turning point in history when you consider what happened in Jerusalem to him and through him in the saving plans of God as the time approached. So friends, Luke's Gospel is all about the kingdom of God coming into the world through the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that kingdom changing our world forever and changing our lives forever. And at chapter 9, verse 51, Luke gives us this little cue: it is nearly here. It is nearly time. It's just around the corner. Are you ready for it? Do you even realize what time it is as we're reading through Luke's Gospel? We've already heard Jesus promise to his disciples. You might like to look back up your page a little bit, say in verse 22. So we know where the story's going, where he says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." When Jesus set his eyes to Jerusalem, he went eyes wide open. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing in the saving plans of God. So what time is it? It is time for Jesus to change the world in Luke's Gospel. So the question for us becomes not just, well, what time is it? Our question ought to be, what a time to be alive. How on earth should we live in a time like this, having seen what Jesus has done? How are we to live in a world where life beats death, where Jesus rose on the third day? That's the challenge for us. So welcome to week one of our time together back in Luke's Gospel. May I pray? Let's dive in together. Let's pray. Our Father God in heaven, indeed, what a time this is to be alive. And we thank you for it. A time where we have the Gospel, where we've heard all about Jesus. We know of his life and his death and his resurrection, that he now lives in heaven and yet is with us also by your Spirit. Father, thank you for Jesus' courage in his earthly life. He was brave to go to Jerusalem to die in our place, to fulfill your saving plans. We ask that we'd learn together now how to live for him and how to live like him and always leaning on him by faith. Teach us, please, to live in this time where we are, totally for Jesus, and we ask it in his name. Amen. So if you're taking notes, and lots of the kids like to take notes here, if you're taking notes, I've actually got 4 points, not three, so you might, what I suggest you might do is put the first point that comes up on the screen, and you can put it up on the screen now, the kingdom is near. Put that maybe in the first box, because there's not, in the big idea box, because there's not a big idea. The big idea is all the 4 points put together. One long rhyming sentence built of the 4 points, and the first one is the kingdom is near. So no separate big idea, one long sentence. Now, we've already seen this. It's about what Jesus is going to do in Jerusalem, die and rise again. But maybe the verses that you and I need to think about are down in verses 8 to 11 of Luke chapter 10. So let's put our eyes down there, because do we tend to forget this? The kingdom is near. That's not just a truth for Christians. It's a truth for the whole world. It's one big truth that changes the world in two ways. It's the promise that God has got us and everything's going to be okay. Yes, that's true. The kingdom is near. But it's also, for some, a terrible nightmare that God will be king, whether we want him for king or not, actually. The kingdom is near. Jesus is giving a warning to the world. It's one big truth. So let's keep an ear out for that, the way Jesus speaks about it here. Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 8, where Jesus says to his disciples who are about to go out for him and speak about him, he says, "When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what's offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its street and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. So did you see it there? Could you pop your finger on the end of verse 9 and pop another finger on the end of verse 11? Do you see it there? The kingdom of God has come near to you, end of verse 9, and the kingdom of God has come near, end of verse 11. Now, as a church, in our modern culture perhaps especially, which sometimes in the world you hear this idea that God, the world can make God out to be a bit temperamental, a little bit cranky, like maybe like a dad with a bad temper and he's not being particularly reasonable. He's a bit grumpy with one kid and then he takes it out on the other kid in the family. You know how that can sometimes work? It's not confessional, but anyway. Sometimes our culture can make God out to be a bit temperamental like that, as if there are some people that God likes and there are some people that God doesn't like, and who even knows why? And there's nothing that we can do about it anyway. No, Jesus is promising one thing for the whole world, the same thing for people who welcome the gospel, and the same thing for people who don't want to listen, don't want a bar of Jesus. What does Jesus promise? He says, the kingdom has come near. That is the one thing that's true for everyone. It might be good news for some, but it will be bad news for others. It may be terrifying to you, or it may be wonderful and the best thing ever, the best thing you've been looking forward to. But if you want to truly, honestly, personally grapple with Jesus and his message, here it is. It's the kingdom of God. And he says it came when he died and rose from the dead, and it's coming still through his church and the gospel, and it will come at the end at Christ's return. So more on that stuff in a second, but first point, the kingdom is near. Second point, the world needs to hear. So the kingdom is near, the world needs to hear, secondly. Okay, for this one, I've got a challenge for us all. Who can tell me what this is? Who can tell me? Someone young can tell me. Yeah, it is the lolly bag, and we're going to make use of it now. Yeah, and later as well, don't worry. But I have a challenge for us all, and it's for us all. If you feel a bit jealous of the kids are always getting lollies. Why do the kids always get lollies? Well, now's your time to shine, people. I want us to find something in the passage and then pop your hand up if you can find it. We're passionate here at Summerlees about engaging with God's word, even closely in the text, and if lollies motivate us to do that, all the better. So here's my challenge. Can you please find for me, and then pop your hand up, any bit in the Bible here between chapter 9, verse 51, between chapter 9, verse 51, and chapter 10, verse 24, so 9, verse 51 to 10, 24. I'll just give you a chance to figure out where you're looking before I tell you what to look for. Okay, we all got it? Okay, good. Any point in there where Jesus gives his disciples the job of going or telling or proclaiming or preaching, or the world needs to hear it, or the towns need to listen, or the people need to know? Do you see anything about the disciples going and telling and the world listening? Who's got one? Jacob at the back. 10 verse 3, that's a good one. I'm not going to attempt to throw that. I'll definitely hit Marcus in the head. I don't want to do that. Yes, very good. Yeah, Izzy? Good. So the warning, they need to get the warning. Yeah, Marcus? Yeah, great. Yep, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Who's got one yet? Carly? Yes, 9:52. Did you have the same one, Ollie? Yep, there you go. Any others? What about this side? I've been biased toward that side. Are there any others about going and telling and listening and proclaiming? Nothing. Brilliant. Good on you, Ginny. Yep, anyone else?
10:16.
Yep, 10. Yep.
Whoever listens to you listens to me.
Yeah, good. Yeah, the listening side of things. Yep. And Maria? Brilliant. All right. Last one. Has anyone else got another one? My point is, it's kind of throughout, right? Kids, you'll have a chance to get a lolly a little bit later, so look forward to that. I'll pop them down, hands down, if you've still got your hand up. Okay, very good. Where was I? Yes, so Jesus, he sets out, he sends messages, verse 52 of chapter 9. Go and proclaim, verse 60. They're sent, verse 1 of chapter 10. Go, 10, verse 3. And basically all of the instructions from 10:3 to 10:15 are all about going and the community listening and so the kingdom is near. The world needs to hear. He told them, 10 verse 2, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And do you just notice that when does he say that? He says that while he's in the process of sending out a great horde of disciples to proclaim his kingdom. 72 disciples, which sounds like an army to me. That would be most of us, like, oh, maybe, most of us today. Imagine if we sent, and Jesus is saying, no, more. Ask the Lord of the harvest for more to send out into the harvest field. See, my interpretation of this section, and I know some people would disagree, but my interpretation is that Jesus actually expects everyone in his kingdom, everyone in his kingdom, to tell the world about his kingdom. Not just the special ones or the official ones or the ones who are paid for it or the ones on an internship or whatever. Everyone to tell the world about Jesus. And we won't dig into it now, but the bloke in verse 60 who says, nah, I can't follow you yet, Jesus, because I've got a funeral to arrange. Jesus doesn't just double down and say, no, you've got to follow me now. What does he say there in verse 60? Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. There's an interesting little detail, isn't it? The world needs to hear because the kingdom is near. Now we have, but we have no need to fear. We have no need to fear. Thirdly, according to Jesus, the prospect of the holy God of the universe coming into this world, coming near, it ought to be a terrifying, arresting, serious thought for our selfish, evil, I'm including all of us in this, a selfish, evil, sinful world. Why? Well, because our world, we live out so much of our lives not giving two crackers about what God has to say about our lives, or we've heard it all before, we really haven't listened. Luke chapter 10, verse 13, just going back a little bit, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you. Woe means terrible things. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Now, you might not know anything about those cities. I don't know very much about those cities, but I know that it's bad news that Jesus is saying. This is serious stuff. When God comes near, you have reason to fear. And perhaps some of us might feel, oh, that's a little bit much. We find it hard to connect God's judgment with today. Maybe it doesn't seem real to us or near to us. But is it fair to say others of us, oh no, we have a very keen sense of God's coming judgment. And it is quite a terrifying thought. God's judgment, maybe not all of the time, but sometimes it's quietly terrifying to us because we do believe that there is a God and we do believe that he's a holy God and we believe that God can see us and we believe that God can see through us and God remembers everything and knows everything and we can't fool him or trick him or lie to him like maybe we can to other people in our lives. God knows and he sees and he remembers and maybe we feel ashamed or we feel like we just can't get it right or we feel like we're too broken or we've made too many mistakes. Some of us, I think, feel that way at least some of the time. The thought of God's coming judgment, the kingdom is near, is a terrifying thought. And so maybe we try to put off thinking about judgment, not because we don't believe it, but because we know exactly how it's going to go for us very, very badly. Woe, Jesus says. And to compound matters, everyone around us seems to be having a jolly old time, enjoying God's grace, experiencing his favor, knowing his forgiveness with such confidence. Now, if that's you, can I just show you where there is joy for you to be found? and show you that it is actually joy for you, not just the person next to you who seems to always access it and find it effortlessly and so forth. Let's have a look at verse 18 together. You see, so the 72 disciples, they've come back to Jesus, they've seen amazing things, they've done amazing things for Jesus. And Jesus said, yep, it worked, didn't it? People repented. And Jesus describes all of that with this image, I think. I think that's what he's doing with the image of Satan's downfall. He's saying it worked, the proclamation of the gospel. Satan lost when the kingdom of God was proclaimed and people started to believe. But don't get a big head about it. There's something else you need to be joyous about. 10 verse 18, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Which leads straight into our fourth point, because how do I know my name? How do you know that your name is written in heaven? Give Jesus your ear. The kingdom is near, the world needs to hear, but you've no need to fear. Just give Jesus your ear, and frankly, your whole self, all of your body, your whole life, all of ourselves to Jesus. What I'm saying is, the joy of knowing that Jesus is yours, that he went to Jerusalem for you, that his death was for your sin, the freedom of knowing God's nearness as a blessing and not as this terrifying, fearful thing comes when you open up your ears and you simply hear what Jesus has to say to you and you believe him. Hear the call of Jesus into your life where he says, follow me. Leave everything, drop everything. Don't expect the world to be your best friend anymore, but do expect the joy of having Jesus as your Savior. Let's read from verse 21 together. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Is that a surprising thought, that God is pleased to reveal himself to little us? What a thought. Let's keep reading. All things have been committed to me, Jesus, by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Shall we pray together? The kingdom is near. The world needs to hear. We've no need to fear. Give Jesus your ear. Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, your kingdom is such a great kingdom. It's a kingdom where our dying world finds life, where our sinful selves find forgiveness once and for all, and we've all found a message to share with the people around us, the message of Jesus. God, we do ask that you'd send us and send more people to share the great news of Jesus with all of the people around about us in our lives. People at school, the people at work, the people in our extended families. God, would you help us, each of us this week, please, to speak and sing and shine for Jesus, because his kingdom has come near and the world needs to hear, but we've no need to fear. May we give Jesus our ear this week. Amen.